Amen. Sometimes all you can say is, wow. Wow. God has shown himself to be so faithful. He is able. And you know what's really cool? God has showed up here this morning. Do you feel that? Do you just feel the presence of God in the music? You know, I just pray I don't drop the ball. You guys have set the table for me. You've handed me the baton. God, please let me carry it faithfully. I look out across the congregation, and I'm thrilled to see such a full house this morning. It's a blessing to see each one of you here. It's a blessing when I look back on that very last row back there and I see Katie. And what a joy it is when our kids that we see grow up in our church go off to college and come back for their vacations. And she's here for a while. Stopped by my office the other day, and what a blessing it was just to visit with her, to hear what God's doing in her life. I remember well our trip, our Harvest North America trip to Oklahoma, and she was part of the team. And when we were there, we had a little bit of a break. And so we were visiting the pastor at his house, all of us. We had a quad runner. And so I took her for a ride. Her mom freaked out. I said, Shannon, relax, as we went spinning circles and kicking up dirt and dust and took off. And Katie was having a great time. I was having a great time. And Shannon was having a heart attack. So great memories. It's good to see you. Glad you're here today. So I'm glad morning, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. Just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away. To a land where joy will never end, I'll fly away. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain. No more parting over there. I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace, what a day that will be when he takes me by the hand and he leads me through the promised land. What a day that will be. I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. I'll meet him in the sky, and I'll shout while passing through the air, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I've just painted for you a picture of the text verses we're going to consider this morning. Will you stand as we honor the Lord in the reading of his word? Because we're going to go to two different locations, I've asked that these verses be put on the screen so you can follow there. I will be reading this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, and Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. The scripture says, "But I will not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Moving over to Revelations, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises of your word. I thank you for the confidence we have in your word, the comfort we get from your word. I thank you, Lord, for the conviction that comes from your word, from the challenge that comes from your word. Your word is truth. And so I ask this morning, as I share your word, Lord, that you will take control of my mind and my mouth, so that what I say will be clear and understandable, that it'll be the words that you have prepared for this congregation to hear, and that through these words and the power of your Holy Spirit, that lives will be changed, hearts will be challenged, we will be convicted on some level. Lord, that when we leave here today, we can say it's good to have been in the house of God, and when we leave here today, may we be different than when we came in. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, we stepped through the door to 2020. Some of you perhaps have made resolutions for this year. I quit doing that a long time ago because I realized I'm a wimp. I can't keep them. It doesn't take me long to jump ship on the resolution. And then you feel like a loser. And who likes to feel like a loser? So the solution is just don't make resolutions and you'll be okay. But I want to tell you, when God makes all things new, he's not a loser. We make resolutions thinking that it's going to change our life, it's going to change certain things about us, that something will be new. And then we fail and we feel bad. But God has promised that a day is coming when all things are going to be new. And he's not going to fail in that promise. And we can be assured of that. Like many first century churches, I want to set the context here. I have a lot to share with you this morning. I'm going to go as quickly as I can. You know, the church at Thessalonica was under persecution. When Paul writes this letter to them, he had been run out of town. He actually wrote this epistle to them from Corinth, and then sent it to them. New believers in Thessalonica believed in Jesus, and they believed that he would return during their lifetime, but they wondered about the people who had already died. And so Paul writes this letter to them as words of encouragement. Over the years, down through the centuries, clergy has used these words to mourn the dead. You often hear them read at funerals. I've read them many times at funerals, with the focus being on the dead in Christ rising. But God had the Apostle Paul write these words as words of comfort and encouragement to the living. And so I want to share them with you this morning, and I want to expand on them. He did that by saying that when Jesus calls, there's going to be a great meeting in the sky. That every Christian, whether dead or alive, when Christ calls, there's going to be a great meeting in the sky. And we as God's children are going to be a part of that meeting. It will be the crowning meeting of all time. And there are three facts that I want us to look at from our text. Fact number one, the Lord will be announced. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The key phrase for us to consider here is the voice of the archangel. The point is that the archangel will announce that Jesus is on his way. And we're all going to hear that, whether physically dead or physically alive. It is a shout that we will all hear. The angels announce the birth of the Lord Jesus. We are coming through and have now those holidays behind us, but we celebrated the birth of our Lord Jesus, and we talked about the fact that the angels announced his birth. I want to tell you that according to Scripture, the angel will announce his return. The Bible says here that the archangels will announce his return, or the angel, but not just any angel, the archangel. The archangel is a special angel. I'm going to give you a little bit of information here. The archangels were given a special status. I want to give you the names of the three archangels and a brief job description. And this is critical because Lucifer was one of the three. He was one of the archangels that got kicked out of heaven. All of the three archangels had one third of the heavenly host under their tutelage, under their guidance. Michael was given charge over the angels that will fight the dragon and his angels. Michael's job as the archangel is to lead the army when that day comes. And one third of the heavenly hosts make up that army. He's like the five-star general of heaven's army. He is the archangel. Gabriel was given charge over the angels that spoke to men on behalf of God. When you read through the Bible and you find the voice of the Lord speaking to the prophets, that was Gabriel and the angels that he had charge over. So you have Michael with one third of the angels. You have Gabriel with one third of the angels. And then you have Lucifer, and he was given charge of the angels that kept the earth, that oversaw the earth. He saw the beauty of the earth. And he said, "This is my kingdom, and I will ascend this above the kingdom of God." He saw the beauty of God's creation and wanted to take control of it. That's why the Bible tells us today he is the God of this earth, with a small g, but he is. He's the one who appeared to Eve. He's the one who tempted man. He's the one who caused the fall of man. He believes that this world is his. He is right now unrestrained because he has a third of the heavenly host, all of the evil demons now, doing the very best he can to disrupt the earth and wreak havoc. And all we have to do is look at recent news and look at news over time, and we see that Lucifer's been very effective in contaminating the earth. The day's coming when he will be subdued, when he will be restricted, when he will be bound up and cast into an eternal burning hell. Hell is real. And hell was prepared not for mankind, but for the devil and his angels. And those who reject the Lord Jesus will be on the devil's team, and you'll spend eternity in hell. That is the truth of the word. So we have these three archangels, and the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, Gabriel, the archangel, will announce the return of the Lord Jesus. This announcement will declare that Christ is on his way. It will summon us as believers to a special meeting. The scripture says in verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." We sang a number of songs this morning that spoke to this coming day. We're going to meet Jesus in the air. Isn't that awesome to think about that? You know, there's going to be a special meeting with our Savior and us. And it's a meeting you don't want to miss. There are many folks who are not too fond of meetings. I'm not too fond of meetings, though it seems like I have them all the time. Sometimes the meetings are boring, unless I'm running the meeting, but I'm just joking. They're too long, there are too many. Sometimes you feel like it's a waste of time. The truth is, there have been many important meetings over time. Many important meetings that have taken place in history that are significant. It was an important meeting when the Continental Congress met to finalize the Constitution. It was an important meeting when the Founding Fathers met to affix their signatures to the Declaration of Independence. It was an important meeting when adversaries sat down together for peace talks and world wars were ended. There have been many wonderful meetings throughout the course of history. It was a wonderful meeting when the Israelites gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, and through thunder and lightning and smoke and fire, God gave the law. It was a wonderful meeting on Mount Carmel when Elijah called fire down from heaven and God showed up in a miraculous way and God was declared God in the hearts of the Israelites. It was a wonderful meeting when Solomon dedicated the temple and the glory of the Lord came and filled every nook and cranny of the temple, filled the holiest of holies with his very presence. It was a wonderful meeting on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came upon the church and 3,000 souls were saved. But listen to me. No meeting, regardless of its importance or its wonder, its date, its time, or its place in history, no meeting will compare to the meeting that will take place when the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus comes. Every biblical event that we read of has been a step toward the meeting that will one day take place in the sky. God driving Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden was one step. Destruction of the world by a flood at the time of Noah was one step closer to the meeting that will take place when Jesus comes. The call of Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land promised to him by God was yet another step. The directive to Moses to lead the children of Israel out of captivity into a land of promise was still another step, putting us closer to the day that the trumpet will sound. The cry of the prophets, the promise of the Messiah, the entrance into the promised land, all these were steps to the crowning meeting that will take place. It was for that meeting that Jesus left the splendor of heaven and came to earth. That Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even unto death on the cross. It's for that meeting that Jesus allowed himself to be beaten, to be battered, to be bruised. It was for that meeting that Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and to shed his blood for the remission of sin. It was for that meeting that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave and ascended back into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. It was for that meeting that the Holy Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost to baptize us. When we come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into our very being and takes up residence. That's baptism by the Holy Spirit. All this took place and takes place because one day the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be summoned to a meeting in the sky. What a great day that's going to be. It's for that meeting that churches have been organized and that missionaries have been sent around the world. The archangel will announce the return of the Lord Jesus, and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the sky. The crowning meeting of all meetings will take place, and we'll see Jesus as he is. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God. If we have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, today we sit here as sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the scripture says, "Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be." We don't really know what it's going to be like when we meet him in the air, but we know we're going to meet him in the air. The scripture says, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Isn't that an awesome verse? The Lord Jesus is coming, and we're going to see him as he is because we're going to be just like him. Don't miss that meeting. Fact number two, the trumpet will be sounded. The scripture says in verse 16 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel," I just spoke to that, "and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first." Here the key phrase is "with the trump of God." One of these days, Gabriel will stand at the portals of heaven. He will adjust his posture. He will position his arms. He will clear his throat. He will purse his lips. He will lift the trumpet of God, and he'll blow. and will be summoned to the meeting in the sky. Because that trumpet sound means that Jesus is on his way. Isn't that exciting to think about it? You know, there were times when my boys said, "Dad, let's go fishing." And I say, "I've got to get this job finished first. I got to go check on something." We were running a business at the time. And Sarah would call me from time to time. The boys are excited. They want you to get here. They want you to go fishing. When are you going to get here? I'm doing my very best. There was one time I pulled in the driveway. Just many things had gone wrong that day. It was 10 o'clock at night, I think. And I hit the garage door opener. The door opened. The boys are standing there with a bucket and their fishing poles. They anticipated my return. And they wanted me to honor my promise to them. I love to fish, but the last thing I wanted to do after that long day at 10 o'clock at night was go fishing. Here's what they said, "Dad, you promised." God has promised that Jesus is coming. And the trumpet's going to sound. And we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know anything except that the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be summoned to a meeting that takes place in the sky. Praise God, Jesus is on his way. And we're going to know that clearly and without question when Gabriel blows the trumpet of God. How awesome is that? It just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. He's coming again with power and glory. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Not even the angels in heaven. Some would argue not even Jesus himself knows when God is going to say, "Son, go get your sheep." But one of these days, that's what God's going to tell him. Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse number 36, he said, "But of that day and that hour, no man knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." It's as though Jesus has said here that nobody has any idea, not even the angels hanging out in heaven. Not even Jesus himself knows when God's going to say, "Go get them." But what a day that's going to be. So I want to tell you confidently that anybody who says they can figure out numerically using biblical numerology and all this stuff we've heard over time, that they can figure out unequivocally when Christ is coming, don't believe them. Because no man knows the day or the hour. I can almost guarantee you if they say they got it wired in, you can guarantee it's not going to happen at that time. No one knows when Jesus is coming. But Jesus said this in Matthew 25 and verse 13. He said, "Watch, therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." What he's saying is you don't know the day or the hour when I'm coming. So you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. The prevailing attitude in the 21st century is exactly what Peter detailed in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 3 and 4, where he says, "Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." You think we have scoffers? "Walking after their own lust." Are we living in a world filled with lust? People desiring to satisfy that lust. And saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I want to tell you upon the authority of this word, all things have not remained the same since the fathers of the Old Testament fell asleep, since they died. Things have changed. God went silent for almost 500 years between the Old Testament time and the New Testament era. Heaven went silent. Jesus came to earth since the prophets and the men of God fell asleep. The Old Testament leaders. God went silent. Jesus came. He paid the ransom for our sin. He paid the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that price. Things have not stayed the same since the beginning of creation. He redeemed us with His blood. He conquered the sting of death. He broke the stronghold of the grave. He provided for us a get out of hell free card. Through Christ and because of Christ, we'll not enter into hell, but we'll enter into glory. That meeting in the sky is a significant meeting. And as I said earlier, you don't want to miss it. Things are not the same as when the forefathers of the Old Testament or the New Testament fell asleep. Since the apostles fell asleep, the Word of God has been carried to every continent on the earth. Millions have responded to the gospel message and been saved. Churches have been planted around the world. The United Bible Society World Report reported in March of 2002 that portions of the Bible, the New Testament, or complete Bibles have been printed in 2,287 languages, Brother Patrick. Now that's over 2,500. The Gideons do a great job getting the Word of God around the world. Things are not the same as when the apostles fell asleep. For your information, the Watchtower has been printed in only 188 languages and the Book of Mormon in 82 languages. The Word of God, 2,500 languages around the world. Praise God. And thank you for the work you guys do. Things are not the same as they were in the beginning. Why is this significant? It's significant because there is no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back. There are no remaining prophecies that need to be fulfilled. How do we know this? Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 14, He said, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. Then shall the end come." What do we know? We know that the gospel has gone out to the entire world. It has gone to the communist countries and to the socialist countries. It has gone to the Buddhist countries, to the Islamic nations. It has gone into the deepest jungles of Africa. The gospel has been carried to every continent on the globe. It's gone to the continent of Africa, North America, South America, Asia, Australia, Antarctica, and Europe. Every continent on the globe has received the Word of God. And Jesus said, when the Word of God gets around the world, then the end will come. There is nothing yet left to be fulfilled. We don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, but we know the trumpet will sound. And we know that it could be at any day, in any moment. We have to be ready. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord will come. But you know this, if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up or to be destroyed. Therefore, be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, that's when I'm coming." Jesus is saying very clearly here that if you knew your house was going to be broken into, you would be on watch, you would be on guard, you would stop someone from coming into your house and destroying it. Jesus said, be ready like that. Satan seeks to destroy your home, your marriage, your family, your jobs, your witness, your testimony. Satan is that thief. And the Bible says, be on guard. Until the trumpet sounds, you have a responsibility to those people in your circles of influence. Men, you have a responsibility to be a godly husband and to be a leader in your home and to teach and train your children, to influence your grandchildren, to love your wife, to be an example, to be a protector. You know not what hour the thief is coming, so be prepared. Defend your family and wait for the trumpet to sound and be caught up to meet him in the air. These are the words of our Lord. Watch and be ready for his return. How can we be found faithful to this command? One, we protect the church from false teaching. We present ourselves, number two, we present ourselves as separate and uncompromised from the world. We are in the world, no doubt, but we are not of the world. We are to be a witness and a testimony of the glory and the blessings of our Lord. We have to be different from the world if the world has any reason to look at us and aspire to have what we have. If we look just like them and we act just like them and we talk just like them, when they run into problems, we're not the solution. We have to be different. We have to stand out and stand apart. We have to be uncompromised. We have to be separate. We have to be an example. We have to be salt, and we have to be light. We have to understand the Word of God and apply the Word of God in our life. We protect the church from false teaching. Number two, we present ourselves separate and uncompromised. Number three, we proclaim the good news gospel with a sense of urgency. We have to understand that the message we have to share is a life-changing message, and it's an urgent message. We don't know if we have tomorrow. I'm going to tell you a true story. It was Sunday night, April 14th, 1912. The luxurious ocean liner known as the Titanic was sailing through icy waters. No one was concerned as the party was taking place on the upper decks because it was believed that the Titanic was unsinkable. Someone even said God himself couldn't sink the Titanic. What kind of idiot gets on the boat after that said? But an iceberg scraped the ship's starboard side, showering the decks with ice and ripping open six watertight compartments. the sea poured in. The boat was equipped with too few lifeboats because they didn't believe it would ever sink. Of the 1,528 people that went into the water that night, 6 were rescued by lifeboats after they filled the lifeboats. Only 6 were pulled out of the sea. 4 years after the Titanic went down, a young Scotsman by the name of Aquila, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Webb, rose in a meeting in Hamilton, Canada, and he said this. He said, "I am a survivor of the Titanic. When I was drifting alone on a piece of the wreckage that night, the tide brought John Harper of Glasgow near me. He also was on a piece of the wreckage. He said to me, 'Man, are you saved?' I said, 'No, I'm not.' He replied, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.' He says the waves and the water motion took him away, but oddly brought him back a short time later. He said that John Harper said to him again, 'Are you saved now?' He said, 'No, I cannot say I honestly am.' He said again, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.' Webb said shortly after that, Harper went down, and there alone in the night, with 2 miles of icy sea underneath me, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, 'I am John Harper's last convert.'" We have to share the gospel with a sense of urgency. One of these days, we're going to meet John Harper, a man facing death in the icy seas, knowing there was no rescue, and he's sharing the gospel. I don't know if he's a relative of yours, but you'll figure he must be, huh? Proclaim the good news gospel with a sense of urgency. You come face to face every day with people who are going to die and go to hell and spend eternity there. You have the answer. Proclaim the gospel with a sense of urgency. Fact number 3, and then I'll be done. The roll will be called. It says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead are coming from 6 feet under, so they need a head start. And that's why the Bible says they're going to rise first. Because once they hit the surface, then we'll be caught up with them so we all meet the Lord. I'm pretty sure that's a good interpretation of the scripture there. I just know that those who are dead will rise first, and those who remain will be caught up together with them. I know that I'm aging myself a little bit here, but when I was a little boy in school, the first thing we did at the start of the school day was say a prayer, say the pledge, and then they pulled out the roll book and took the roll. They called your name, see if you were there. God has a roll book also. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's going to call the roll one day. I don't know when he's coming. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I believe it will happen. And I believe that the roll will be called up yonder. And I believe that my name will be called. Jesus said in John the 6th chapter in verse 37, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I'll in no wise cast out. Isn't that a great promise? Because I think that since I was saved as a little boy, I've probably done enough stuff that if God was going to kick anybody out, he'd have kicked me out a long time ago. You don't have to say amen to that. I mean, I was a bad boy, but no, that's fine. That's fine. The point is, Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and him that comes to me I'll in no wise cast out. Sister, you shared your testimony. I've heard it many times about alcohol. You're in no wise cast out. He loves you. He saved you. You're his daughter forever and ever. Amen. For I came not down from heaven, the scripture goes on to say, to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which sent me, that all which he has given to me I should lose nothing, none of them, but should raise them up on the last day. The day's coming when he's going to raise us up and we're going to meet him in the sky. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, the scripture says, there shall no wise enter into anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but only those which are written in the Lamb's book of life. If your name is not written there, you'll not enter into the glory of heaven. Let me ask you, is your name written there? Do you know that when you draw your last breath, you're going to enter into heaven? According to Scripture, the trumpet's going to sound one day. It'll set off a chain of events like the world has never seen. Phony believers will be exposed. Why? Because they'll not be raptured. They'll be left behind. False doctrines will be revealed. On that day when the trumpet sounds and the roll is called up yonder, every child of God, dead or alive, will hear it. And we'll fly away. And we'll meet Jesus in the sky. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which stands for the children of your people. And there'll be a time of trouble such as has never was since there was a nation, even unto the same time. And at that time your people will be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Michael's going to go to battle with his angels. And what he's going to do is protect the elect. Everyone whose name is not found written in the book of life will be sent away. Many of them that sleep in the dust and the earth shall be awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. On that day when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise and the roll is called up yonder, the world is going to wake up and discover that things are not the same. The world will rub its collective eyes and realize something is wrong. Loved ones are gone. Fellow church members are gone. Neighbors and co-workers are gone. On that day when the trumpet sounds and the roll is called up yonder, the crowning meeting will be taking place in the sky. They won't be there because when they felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, they rejected it. And they said, no, not now. On that day, when the trumpet sounds and the roll is called up yonder, all things will be new. There will be no more sadness, no sorrow, no suffering. There will be no more tears to dim the eye. God will wipe all the tears from our eyes. There will be no more clouds in the sky. There will be no more pain or crying or suffering or death. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a new city coming down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem. God himself will dwell in our midst. The Lord Jesus will be the light of the city that will never go out. Revelation 21 says that there shall in no wise enter into it anything that will defile it. Satan will be controlled, and he'll no longer have an impact on your life. And you'll no longer be subject to temptation, and you'll no longer falter, and you'll no longer stumble. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord will come. When is he coming? Sometime after the last name on the roll book is saved. I wonder if that last name is you. I wonder if the trumpet's going to sound in the next 10 minutes. I know that it could be today that the roll is called up yonder. Today could be the day that I fly away. Let me tell you when I go. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And I'll shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell. I'll see you in heaven. God, I want to thank you for your message. I trust, Lord, that it's gone forth and been meaningful and been a blessing on whatever level, Lord, that it needs to be a blessing. I pray that it's been convicting, that it's been challenging, that it's been comforting. God, your word is able to do all those things, the same message, ministering to different people to meet their very specific need. So this morning, God, I pray that if there's someone here who does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, that if you're working in their heart right now, that they might have the courage to step out and come forward when we're singing our last song here, and let me share with them what your word says about becoming a child of God. Maybe others who are here today just recommitting themselves as they stand at the doorway of this new year, and they're saying that they're going to be more committed to live for you. Help them, Lord, to solidify that resolution and that promise. Maybe where they stand, or if they need to come forward and pray, just kneel at an altar, help them to do whatever it is that you're laying on their heart to do at this time. There may be someone else who's looking for a church home, and you've laid it on their heart that this is the place that you want them to worship. Whatever it is, God, we give this time to you, and we ask that we'll see you work in a mighty way. To God be the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.